Legend 1 is given to you as a reference. You can refer to it, but there's no specific question about what it is. In the radio aids, the navigation and communication boxes section, it shows you the symbols for the VOR, the VORTAC, and the VOR-DME. I think there was a question about what type of facility was at one of the airports in Texas, and it was a VOR-DME. So there's the symbol for it. Then there was a question about what the visual checkpoint flag meant, and that's under miscellaneous, under those three glider symbols for ultralight, hang glider, and glider operations. They're magenta under the miscellaneous section. Well, let's take a look at this. There's some airport symbols in the upper left-hand corner, and it explains that the airports on the sectional chart that have control towers are shown in blue, and the others are shown in magenta. And the airport facility directory has information involving the lighting and the navigation aids and the various services at the different airports. The airports with other than hard surface runways are shown with simple circles, and the hard surface runways that are 1,500 to 8,069 feet in length are shown in circles with the runways outlined. If the runways are longer than 8,069 feet, or multiple runways, then the airport symbol is shown differently. It's shown where the runway is just outlined. Open dot with the hard surface runway configuration indicates the approximate location of the VOR or the VOR-DME or the VORTAC. All of the recognizable hard surface runways, including those that are closed, are shown for identification. In other words, any airport with a hard surface runway is shown even if the runway is closed. And if the airport is closed, or if the airport is private, it's still shown because it has a recognizable hard surface runway, and they're just shown for identification. Private airports are shown with the letter R, or the letters PVT, and they're included on the chart because they have landmark value, and of course they can be used in emergency. All the military airports are identified by abbreviations such as AFB, Air Force Base, NAS, Naval Air Station. And then there's abandoned runways that have an X on them. Ultralight flight parks are indicated by an F for flight park. Runways with services available and those that are tended during normal working hours are identified by tick marks. A star indicates that there's a rotating beacon. The rotating beacons operate from sunset to sunrise. The airports are all identified with airport data block that indicates the name of the airport, whether there's radar there or not, whether there's a flight service station or not, whether special VFR is permitted, and then it has a control tower frequency, which is also the common traffic advisory frequency. If there's a star next to the frequency, that means that it's part-time. There's a tower frequency tabulation section which has the hours of operation, and that's printed on the chart. Common traffic advisory frequency, of course, is the control tower frequency when there's a control tower. There's also an ATIS frequency or an AWAS frequency that's printed, and that's for weather reports. Then there's the elevation above sea level. If it has lighting, it has the letter L. And then the longest runway in hundreds of feet is printed, as well as the UNICOM frequency. And if there's a VFR advisory service that's other than the primary control tower frequency, then that would be printed as well. Whether or not the airport is an airport of entry is indicated as well by the words airport of entry. Under radio aids, the navigation and communication boxes, there are symbols for the navigation stations, the VORs, the VORTACs, the VOR-DMEs, the NDBs, non-directional radio beacons, and the NDB-DMEs. There are other frequencies that are listed that have navigation value, such as commercial broadcast stations. All AM radio stations can be received by the ADF receiver in the aircraft. an AM radio station operates in the same bandwidth as the low and medium frequency non-directional beacons. Commercial broadcast stations, flight service station outlets, and remote communications outlets are also listed on the chart with a circle. The navigation and communication boxes are heavy line boxes. Flight service station boxes would be a heavy line box with the name of the flight service station. Now, all the flight service station frequencies receive 121.5, which is the emergency frequency, as well as 122.2. If the flight service station frequency receives additional frequencies, those frequencies are indicated above the box. If the letter R is next to it, that indicates that the flight service station only receives that frequency. It cannot transmit on it. So you would want to listen to a different frequency if you're transmitting on a frequency where the letter R is next to the box. If there's a VLR, it's going to have a box as well, and it's going to have a frequency in it. If the frequency is underlined, that means that there's no voice on the VLR frequency. The name of the VOR facility will be listed, as well as the three-letter identifier and the Morse code. In the corners of the box, you'll have a letter T or a letter H, designating HIWAS or TWEEB. The flight service station also has a frequency box, and the name of the flight service station that provides voice communications is located in brackets underneath the box. So if you have a frequency above the NavAid site, that means that the flight service station has a voice frequency that's remote controlled to that NavAid site. The other frequencies that the flight service station may use are listed in the airport facilities directory. The contour interval is shown on the chart legend, and the highest terrain elevation feature is also shown on the chart legend, and the latitude and longitude of that highest terrain feature is shown. A dot indicates a spot elevation. An X with a number indicates an approximate elevation. If the location of the terrain feature is doubtful, that is indicated by the omission of the point locator, omission of the dot or the X. Class Bravo airspace is shown by blue outlines. Class Charlie airspace is shown by magenta outlines. And Class Delta airspace, where communications is required, is shown by a dashed blue outline. And the ceiling of the Class Delta airspace is indicated in hundreds of feet inside of a open bracketed box. Class Echo airspace, when it is located on the surface, or Class Echo surface area, is identified by a magenta dashed outline. And the floor of Class Echo airspace, that begins at 700 feet above the surface, is shown by a magenta tint. The floor of Class Echo airspace at 1,200 feet or greater above the surface, that abuts Class G airspace, is shown by a blue tint. All Class E airspace on the other side of the magenta tint is implied to begin at 1,200 feet, so it's not specifically shown. But in those areas where Class E airspace does not begin at 1,200 feet, there's no shading. And then the area where Class E airspace begins, that's where you'll see blue shading by itself. Where there is a chain link fence symbol with a MSL altitude, that indicates the floor of Class Echo airspace is something greater than 700 or 1,200 feet above the surface. In that case, the height of Class Echo airspace will be indicated next to the chain link symbol. Victor Airways are Class Echo airspace, so they're not specifically indicated by any markings except their own blue color. At certain points where Victor Airways intersect, there are arrows that indicate an intersection, and the arrows point toward the facilities that establish the intersection. On Victor Airways, a box indicating total mileage between the NavAids is indicated, with the mileage indicated inside of the box. Prohibited, restricted, warning, and alert areas, and Canadian advisory and restricted areas are indicated with a blue box with blue shading on the inside of the box. military operations areas are magenta boxes with magenta shading on the inside of the box. Inside of each quadrangle on the chart, there's a large number that represents maximum elevation figures. These are represented in thousands and hundreds of feet above sea level. The maximum elevation figure is based on the highest known feature in each quadrangle, and that includes terrain, obstructions, trees, towers, and antenna. So the number 12.5 indicates 12,500 feet. Military training routes are printed on the charts. The only part of the chart information that's given to you on the legend is that the routes are subject to change every 56 days. These charts are reissued every 6 months, so look at your chart when you get it to see what's changed. Don't just open it up and use it as a reference for airport information. Look at the chart. Get familiar with it. I've seen these charts change over a period of years. Look at the chart when you get a new chart, see what's changed, and study the chart prior to using it. There's a magenta circle that is drawn around areas where Mode C is required, like Bravo Airspace, that 30-mile circle. National security areas are outlined in a magenta dashed line. And terminal radar service areas are indicated by a blue line. Military training routes are indicated with thin gray lines. Obstructions 1,000 feet or higher are indicated by an Eiffel Tower type symbol. Those obstructions below 1,000 feet are just a chevron with a dot underneath it. Group obstructions are grouped together with multiple dots and multiple chevrons. And lighted obstructions have a light beacon symbol radiating from the top of them. The height above sea level is indicated in the bold print, and the height above ground level is indicated in the smaller print. If the letters Uniform Charlie appear under the obstruction, it means that the obstruction is under construction and the position and the elevation are unverified. A star would be a flashing light, and a marine light is a dot. The sectional aeronautical chart is also a topographical chart, and it contains roads, road markings, railroads, bridges, viaducts, power transmission lines, aerial cables, and of course contour lines, so that you can determine the elevation. The contours and the terrain features are drawn from the point of view of a western setting sun. So the shadows that are drawn by the cartographer are drawn so that the sun appears to be in the western sky. Landmark features are also on the sectional chart. Stadiums, factories, golf courses, schools, lookout towers are also on the chart, as well as Coast Guard stations, racetracks, oil, gas, or water tanks, as well as oil wells and water wells. Mountain passes, mines, and quarries are also indicated. Dams are shown by a black line at the end of the lake. Piers are shown, and rocks are also shown by little stars in the lake. Non-perennial lakes are shown with a blue outline and dotted, whereas perennial lakes are solid blue. They look like regular lakes. And that concludes our discussion on Legend 1 Sectional Aeronautical Chart. Legend 2 is a directory legend from the airport facility directory. This is handy to have in case you need to look something up and you see, for example, on Legend 2, you forgot what ARFF stood for or what AOE stood for. Well, AOE is mark number 15 and ARFF is mark number 16. By going to subsequent legends, those are explained. So if you're on Legend 1, for example, and you want to look up what ARFF means, just use your arrow key and scroll down to the directory legend 2, and every one of those symbols are identified. So if we want to look up 15 and 16, we scroll down, and 15 is airport of entry. LRA is landing rights airport. And this is a lot of fine print that is fascinating to read. Let's see, legend 3, the data is continued. We get to runway data, runway surface and length, runway weight bearing capacity.
Legend 3 also has the key to servicing. It explains what the difference is between S1, S2, S3, and S4. Remember, Lincoln, Nebraska had S4, major airframe and major power plant repairs. Not all airports have that level of service. Also, Legend 3 has the time conversion explanation. Legend 4 has the fuel key, explaining what the codes are for the different fuels that are indicated. It also explains the traffic pattern altitude, that second height in parentheses, traffic pattern altitude, reference to the field elevation. And it has the key to certificated airport FAR 139, showing the indices and the aircraft rescue and firefighting equipment requirements. Legend 5 has the runway data key. Now that's a very interesting key to look at because it shows you what the runway surface and length abbreviations mean, as well as the runway weight bearing capacity. Legend 6 has the key to all the lighting indicators. This includes the runway lights, the runway approach lights, the visual glide slope indicator lights, the VASIs, as well as how the pilot-controlled lighting operates. Runway slope and runway end data keys are also included. The runway end data key includes the right traffic indication, which was a question from the Nebraska AFD excerpt. Some of the runway end data spills over onto Legend 7. The takeoff run available, the takeoff distance available, the accelerate stop distance available, and the landing distance available. Legend 7 includes airport remarks, weather data sources, and communications. The weather data sources on Legend 7 explain the differences between the various AWAS reports, AWAS Alpha, AWAS 1, 2, and AWAS 3, as well as the difference between ASAS and AWAS. The communications key is very valuable. It explains what the common traffic advisory frequencies are. It includes what remote communications outlets are and communications frequencies for contacting flight service stations. Here is where you find that frequency 122.0 is assigned for flight watch, which is another way of saying en route flight advisory service. Did you know that most flight service stations are assigned frequency 122.2? They often have discrete frequencies, but 122.2 is a common frequency assigned to flight service stations. Here is where 123.6 is explained. It's the frequency that's assigned to airports that have a flight service station without a control tower. Legend 8 goes on to explain the rest of the communications frequency tab, and it has the letter R that's circled indicating radar, approach control, departure control. It also has the abbreviations for clearance, delivery, ground control, CTAF, ATIS, and UNICOM. Legend 8 also has an airspace key. The airspace key reinforces what we talked about regarding the floor of Class Echo airspace beginning at either 700 or 1200 feet. Those airspace areas beginning at 700 or 1200 feet are also referred to as transition areas. It is interesting how Legend 8 also refers you to the Aeronautical Information Manual for further details. Key 23, Radio Aids to Navigation, begins on Legend 8 and it spills over onto Legend 9. On Legend 8, the details about the VORs and the VORTAX are listed. The useful part about knowing specifics about the VORs and the VORTAX is that the VORTAX line gives you a bearing and a distance to the airport from the VORTAX or the VOR. It also gives you the site elevation and the magnetic variation at that site. Legend 8 also explains what HIWAS is, Hazardous In-Flight Weather Advisory Service. Legend 9 is a continuation of Key 23, and it lists the classes of VOR, DME, or TACAN, along with their service volumes. Finally, Legend 9 indicates various acronyms that are part of the Airport Facilities Directory, the abbreviations that are used. It has a list from Automatic Weather Broadcast, to VHF station location marker. And that concludes the discussion of Legends 1 through 9.